Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the podcast by casuals for casuals. My name is Will, and I'm your host this evening, joined as always by my favorite Esper control player, who's not me, Aramis Perez. How are you doing, sir?
Am I allowed to talk again because I don't watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, what's up with that? We need to have a discussion about that. How can you be a magic guy and not watch Game of Thrones? That just seems wrong.
It's just, never mind.
Listen, dude, I'll give you my HBO Now credential. Oh, wait, we shouldn't.
Blasphemy.
I know. Blasphemy. They're going to kill me now. They're going to come take me away. Well, I don't care. So anyway, how have you been, sir?
Not bad. How about yourself?
It's not been bad. It's been a pretty good week, actually, overall. It's Tuesday. We should have recorded yesterday, but thank you guys. My fiance was having a bad night, so I shouldn't say that. That kind of throws her under the bus. We just couldn't record last night due to family issues. All right, she was sleeping in my office. So anyway. Oh, there we go. Here's our boy Jonathan. He's saying welcome back. John's like our number one, and by number one, I mean he was probably our first. But he's probably our biggest. We're just gonna go with number one. Why am I making this work?
You just like throwing qualifiers on everything. I'm just gonna give the guy his credit. He's
you know what?
He's the man. Oh, I thought we discussed this.
What? What did we discuss about this?
Oh boy.
No, this one's good. It's only 6.2%.
You hear that sound, everybody? That's the sound of the podcast going way off the rails into a ditch and lighting itself on fire.
Again. So oh, so it's good to be back. We've got a lot to go over tonight. In fact, let me just get that. All right, so we have a ton tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Arena and how we're doing. And basically my thoughts on it are basically, Wizard, you suck. lots of War of the Sparks preview we're going to talk about in the first main phase. We're going to see some what might we see play in the new standard. There's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Actually, not as much as you think, though. I've been looking at a lot of this, and it seems almost like they wrote a lot of this for Modern, but we'll go into that. Combat, we're going to debate if Super Friends is viable or already DOA due to the Elder Spell.
By the way, the Elder Spell is ridiculous. We'll get to that.
Yeah, the Elder Spell is ridiculous, but there's two words named in Mizzet, so Super Friends may be something. Second main is going to be actually you guys. We have listener emails. If you want to get in, if you're watching us live and you got a quick question, we have our Ask Aramis section as well as just comments and stuff. You can do that podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And if it shows up, we'll just read it.
Yeah.
Which could be death, by the way, because we won't have pre-read it. So they could put in there something like, oh, and will you smell? And I'll just read it because I read anything on the prompter.
Oh, God.
Anything.
Oh, God.
Okay. And then we also have our big announcement we teased last week, and that's going to be at the very end of the show, and it has to deal with the War of the Spark pre-release. So let's you know, real quick, while we're sitting here talking, I mean, obviously Arena's our thing. I've been using Arena to practice mm-hmm. Esper control, mainly because, and I mean, not to let the cat out of the bag, but tomorrow night or Friday night this week, I'm gonna play Esper. Mm-hmm. So
how does the evil feel?
The evil is fun. Mm-hmm. I am finding a different deck, though. And here's the thing. Grixis is already a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's kind of... I think people, what they're doing is they're sort of refamiliarizing themselves with the deck because Nicol Bolas, Dragon...
It's about to become sick.
Yeah. Dragon God's gonna do some things and... Ugh.
Some awful, awful things. Like, yeah.
Sort of the whole, you know, the lawyer walking up and saying, Show me on the doll where he touched you, and it's going to be everywhere.
And John says, traitor.
I didn't say I was switching. I just said it was going to be a thing.
No, he's saying I'm the traitor for going to control.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, you know, it's all about this whole win thing. Oh, and by the way, for those of you wondering at home, Sam Adams' Bavarian Lager is actually really, really good. Like, I'm just sitting here going, I like that taste. Hmm. Anyway, moving on. And no, they're not a sponsor. Hashtag not sponsored. So, yeah. So Arena, I got up to gold one.
Yep.
I got up to 3 pips in gold one or 2 pips in gold
yep.
one. And then the motherfracker, it's almost like the Arena gods are like, no, we can't let too many people become platinum. Because all of a sudden I'm facing a Grixis deck. I'm facing every single deck that can kill this. Which is kind of why I'm glad that Elizabeth from Oshkosh basically put in the info and asked the question that I even have, which is, how the hell do you sideboard that deck? Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, it's been, and I got all the way back down. I think I'm finally back up to gold 3, but I got down to the first pip of gold 4. Oof. Like I went on a run like you ain't seen as far as losing. Kept getting these Grixis decks, kept facing these mono red kept coming out, and then I wasn't getting my cards.
So instead of going on a run, you just had the runs?
Yeah, basically.
Got
and
it.
All I ended up with was mana floods, like consistently and constantly, to the point where sideboarding for me now, I take out 2 lands.
Well, I mean,
it actually plays.
That and that might actually be a strategy in certain matchups. I mean, it's really some of its personal preference, but
yeah.
I
like the 26. I feel like you have to have 26.
Yeah,
in deck.
You need a lot of land.
In paper, you can't not.
Yeah,
there's no way in paper you can't. But I'm wondering if somehow we're getting punished by the arena, their algorithms or whatever, and they're like, these guys should be flooded because they have so much land. Look what we did.
Yeah.
But what about you? How's things?
Well, I got up to Platinum 3. I was 2 pips away from Platinum 2, and I've basically been seesawing between that and the bottom of Platinum 4. I'll get back up to 2 pips from Platinum 2, and then it sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm not.
We're not complaining here. It's just
It seems like I'm playing a matchup that I should crush. Like, it'll be Gates or some janky red-black deck or something completely random that's not, like, main meta. It'll crush me, and then I just lose, like, 5 games in a row, and I'm all the way down at the bottom of Platinum again, and it's like, I want to break stuff.
Last night, Simic goddamn Nexus. Like, what?
You know what I've been having the most problems with is actually Teemer Reclamation.
I knew that was a thing.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of problems with
that.
That's why
I tried to play it last week, but I ended up... The problem with Teemer Reclamation was I didn't end up playing any control. I ended up playing, like, the worst decks for that. Hi, I'm going to play a mono-black deck against you. Hi, I'm going to play a freaking green-white deck against you. It was like... And then mono-blue, I'm like, fuck off.
So, you know, I've had some frustrating moments over the last week, but overall I think I'm still playing pretty well with the deck. I'm still fairly dedicated to it. I think there might be a couple of little tweaks I might make, maybe in the sideboard, but other than that, I mean, the deck is good. It's just every now and then what happens too with Arena, and this is something that people have to prepare for if they're going to do the grind and try to get to Mythic, you're going to hit that wall at some point where you just lose like 10, 15 matches in a row. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's going to happen. And the key is
not to be streaming at that time. No.
Don't be streaming at that time, and also don't push your fist through the monitor or break your mouse like I might have.
Did you really?
I did.
Awesome.
I did.
Well, it's frustrating. And I mean, especially when I'm playing, like, if I'm in a really close match, and this happened with Simic. Like, Simic, game 2, okay, he beat me 2-0. But game 2, I got Unmoored Ego and Unmoored Ego. So all of a sudden, first Unmoored Ego, Wilderness Wreck, he can't counter it. He has no counters in that deck. Or he did. He had Sinister Sabotages and stuff, but it was turn 2. It was my – or turn 3. It was my turn 3.
Right, so you had to play.
And yeah, so Simic – so I played Unmoored Ego. I claimed Reclamation. Mm-hmm. And then I saw in his hand he didn't have a counterspell. I'm like, and he didn't have stirred land. I'm like, this is great. So, because I drew on turn 3, I drew an Unmoored Ego again. Turn 4, Unmoored Ego, I do Nexus of Fate. Doesn't the motherfracker. And that's when I notice, I'm like, the first time, like, I don't like how Arena stops you from looking through their deck once you find your 4. Mm-hmm. So I realize you can't click that 4th one yet if you want to go looking through the deck.
He boarded out Reclamation, the Nexus, didn't he?
No, he didn't board on Nexus. He boarded out. He didn't. But what he boarded in was Carnage Tyrant.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I would have.
Did you board out your Kaya's Wrath?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he wasn't playing.
Playing creatures. Yep.
Yeah. So it was like, but even still, now here's the thing. I'm doing okay. Like I boarded out. Oh no, I boarded out one of the Kaya's Wrath. I managed to pull one. And I managed to get rid of one of them. Mm-hmm. And then I did something else to get rid of one.
Probably a Thief of Sanity.
I got one. Yeah, a Thief of Sanity, the other one. He had 2 in his deck, or he had 3 in his deck. And I mean, it's a close match. We're really closely tight. I mean, I think I'm at like 9 and he's like it's at 12. Land. 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 I'm like, you mother... Oh, I was so pissed off. Because, I mean, at that point, I did. I shut the computer off for the day.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even playing this game. Screw you guys. I'm going... I just need that sound drop. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Yep.
Like, I was just like...
You just had
luckily, I was not streaming.
You just had to walk to the cupboard and pick up a whole package of salt, because that's just how you felt right there. That too.
So...
Yeah, no, I had a game like that too where I flooded badly, and it was one of those games where if I had drawn literally anything, I probably would have won. I mean, you never actually know, but it's one of those situations where it's like, really? I mean, he was playing like a weenie deck. He had like 7-1 toughness creatures on the board. I'm like, where the hell are my Cry of the Canariums? Where are they? Oh, they're underneath these 7 lands. Okay.
Speaking of that, I did get 2 Challenger decks. For the club, I just went and bought them because I was at Walmart.
Good idea.
I got the Izzet Drakes.
Nice.
It's like, and what I said to the guys was, I was like, listen, here's the deal. This is my deck. You can use it. We will sleeve it. You can use it on Friday nights. And I got the white one because I'm like, I took a look at it and I'm like, really, the white one, it's not going to survive rotation, but it's still
it's got
a lot
some
of
power.
The bang for the bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think it's the most like reliable in that room. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? So here we go. We got 2 decks you guys can play this weekend. So, but it's still like, I was like, so I really am pretty pleased with that. And I'm telling you what, the Izzet Phoenix deck, Mirari Conjecture, I didn't realize. That was another janky fucking deck I played. Mm. Guy had that was the second game. I got another one where I unmoored egoed on game 2. And I unmoored egoed. I was playing the Lich Crusade and... Mirari Conjecture and the other one that makes it basically go infinite. Oh, Mastermind's Acquisition, and then he basically,
God.
Yeah. Oh, he made it go infinite like badly.
Yuck.
Like, oh, it was awful. And I'm like, this is the jankiest piece of so on Mordigo. That's the one that got me. I was like, Lich, I'm gonna do the Lich one, and he actually sideboarded that out, and he brought in
you just Acquisition for it.
Yeah. No, he brought in something else. Yeah, I was like, you.
Boy. You know.
Oh, I was pissed.
Well, how about we switch things up and lighten the mood a little bit? How about we talk about War of the Spark?
Main Phase.
All right. Welcome to Main Phase.
Welcome to Main Phase.
That was one of your best transitions yet, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, Main Phase. All right. War of the Spark.
Wow.
Holy. All right. Listen, guys, if you are not reading MTG Salvation or MTG Previews even, which is, you know, Goldfish's.
Or Reddit.
Reddit can take a little while. Like, sometimes they're ahead of it, and then they'll put up, like, these weird, like, foreign language ones. Like, MTG Previews and MTG Salvation are, like, the two I've really been using mainly. If you're not reading those, you know, that's fine. But hey, if you want to stay unspoiled, first of all, how dare you? Secondly,
you might want to skip the next 20 minutes if you
go to the next one. We'll probably get to combat here in like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So fast forward your podcast. But holy God, like, first of all, like, the God Eternals are what?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just. Yeah,
you can go.
Wow.
You can go ahead talk about Kefnet. It's fine.
Yeah, because Kefnet's the big one for me.
Go ahead.
Kefnet, 2 blue, 2 colorless, so 4 converted mana cost. He's flying. It says basically you may reveal the first card you draw each turn as you draw it, which is an interesting thing. I like that they're saying as you draw it, so you have to decide before you look at it.
Well, you draw the card, and you're like, do I want to reveal this card? Well, maybe not.
Oh, I thought that meant like you don't pretty much have to.
You draw the card, you'll see it. Okay, so if also the other thing too, each turn.
Yes.
Each turn,
which is beautiful. Each turn, as you draw it, whenever you reveal an instant or sorcery card this way, copy that card and you may cast the copy. That copy costs 2 less to cast. So the card, the instant or sorcery, still goes into your hand, and you get to cast it for 2 less. And it says when God Eternal Kefnet dies or is put into exile, which all the God Eternals do, From the battlefield, you may put it into its owner's library, third from the
top. So the son of a bitch doesn't die.
No.
At least not forever.
No, not forever. And it's pretty, you know, at least it's not cannot be countered, because that just, that would be broken.
Well, and here's the thing, too, also to keep in mind. The way this is worded, if the card you flip over is a sorcery, this is still your draw step when you're doing this, or during your opponent's end step, or whatever it is. You can cast that sorcery whenever you do this. So if it's your end step and you flip over some ridiculous sorcery, there you go. You cast it.
Yeah, the copy. The sorcery still goes into
your hand. Sorcery still goes into your hand, too. That's the thing. So it's like you're casting this spell at a discount. And by the way, you still get the card in your hand.
No, you're casting this card at a discount at instant speed.
Mm-hmm. And you still keep the card.
Yeah. Which, now that I think about it, okay. So you have a search for Iskanta on the field. That makes it even easier.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Hey, that's a land. Nope.
Don't want that.
Hey, that's a sorcery. I'll put that on top. I choose to reveal it. I'm casting the copy.
Well,
you can go
first. Well, Iskanta puts the card you don't pick on the bottom, don't forget. And you're not. And it doesn't count as a card draw. No, it's
search for Iskanta puts it
search for Iskanta, when it's still the enchantment, I say, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm saying from the, I get to preview my card, decide if I want it, put it in the graveyard if not. Like, the mechanics on this alone, and like I said, I mean, okay, in a teamer or in a teamer nexus or even Simic nexus, a teamer reclamation nexus, whatever you want to call it, ow.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Okay, so I've got Eternal Kefnet out. I draw Nexus of Fate. Well, I'm going to cast that for two less. Thanks for playing. It goes in my hand. Oh, I already have my Wilderness Reclamation out. So at the end of my turn, I'm also going to cast this one.
Yeah, so
and it breaks control, because counter magic, sure, you can counter the copy, but you better make sure you got another negate sitting out there or absorb or whatever, because guess what? I might cast the real one.
Yeah, and this thing only costs 4 mana. And by the way, it's a 4/5 flyer. So it's also a win condition.
Here's what I think happened, and I heard this on the Goldfish podcast earlier, and I couldn't agree with them more. It's like the people at Wizards were like, you know, during Amonkhet, all the gods were pretty freaking powerful, Ronas and Bantu and Hazoret. Kefnet, we screwed that up. You think we should do something about that this time? Yeah. Let's make it, you know, because it's like they just like were like, we made it up to Kefi. We just wanted to make it up to
just
Kefnet.
A smidge.
Oh, because I mean, my God, it's just, I mean, and don't get me wrong, all the God Eternals have funness, but that right there, it's either that or Ronas for me is like the two best ones, and I won't read Ronas later. I can read it later, but I mean, those two are the ones that I think are going to see a lot of standard play, let alone Kefnet's going to see play in Modern. There's no way you don't play that in my God. And an Is It Phoenix deck? Because you're casting it. So, you know, you're casting the copy. So I'm casting Faithless Looting.
Yep.
I'm drawing Faithless Looting. Mm-hmm. I'm casting Faithless Looting again. I have to cast just one more spell, and with what's his face out there, I have two blue already. So if I'm casting Faithless Looting twice, unless I got Shocklands, odds are good I still have two blue at least left sitting out.
Yep.
So holy hell, pass the dip. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah.
Like, it's or as John said, holy bear god.
Yep.
Holy boar god.
Boar god. Yeah. So. So there's the four God Eternals plus Ilharg the Raised Boar, which is also a ridiculous card. But they also they haven't officially been spoiled, so these are kind of leaks.
Which ones?
The finales.
Oh, they haven't been officially yet.
Those
were probably done
two of the finales have been revealed officially.
Right.
There's three other ones. So one for each color. And they play off of the old Hours cards in Hour of Devastation. So instead of Hour of Devastation, there's Finale of Devastation. Same for Eternity, Glory, War, and Promise. Or not War, but Revelation. So the one that I want to talk about...
Eternity, I'm sure.
Not necessarily Eternity. I mean, here's the thing. They're all kind of ridiculous. They're the... The best analogy that I can think of, Benson might remember this. You have to go all the way back to Prophecy. Remember the winds?
Oh my God! Yeah, you were,
or the decrees from Scourge, or yes. Like Onslaught. They're reminiscent of that. They're spells that they have a main effect. They're all X spells, X and two of their respective color, and they do something awesome for X. But if you make X 10 or more, they have an additional stupid effect, which is basically sort of insta I win the game. So, I mean, geez, flip a coin. Which one do I want to do here? You know what? I'm going to start with the red one.
Okay.
Because that was the first one previewed. It's called Finale of Promise. So,
I know.
And I promise you, this one is kind of stupid. In a good way. So, Finale of Promise, sorcery for X and 2 red. By the way, these are all mythic rares, and they earn their mythic status.
Boy, do they.
You may cast up to one target instant card and or up to one target sorcery card from your graveyard each with converted mana cost X or less without paying their mana cost. That right there is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's already pretty decent.
Absolutely. I mean,
if a card...
Considering...
Yeah, considering, you know, all the fun spells that are in the set and all the other sets in Standard. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead. Okay. But they were already in your graveyard to begin with, so whatever.
You've already gotten some use out of them. This is getting you a second use, maybe. Unless...
Unless you pay... if X is 10 or more, so we're talking 12 mana, yes, I realize that. The odds of you getting to 12 mana in most games are slim, but...
Especially in this Standard.
Yeah. But if you happen to get to 12 mana, if X is 10 or more, copy each of those spells twice. What? You may choose new targets for the copies. I mean, come on. So along similar lines of that, Finale of Revelation, X and 2 blue.
Yep.
Draw X cards. This is already Brain Geyser.
Yep.
This is already really good. And I think actually it's one cheaper than Brain Geyser, because Brain Geyser was 3 blue in X, I believe.
I believe you're correct.
So for X and 2 blue, draw X cards. This is good. If X is 10 or more, instead, shuffle your graveyard into your library, draw X cards, untap up to 5 lands, and you have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game. Exile Finale Revelation. Holy crap, it's Time Twister, Brain Geyser, you know, Reliquary Tower, and friggin' like Peregrine Drake all rolled into one.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that are officially spoiled. The other three are leaks, and we'll talk about them maybe in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's just, it's ridiculous at this point.
Oh, by the way, Benson, got a question for you.
Sure.
You like Hydroid Krasis, right?
I love Hydroid Krasis.
Have you met his cousin?
No, what is his cousin's name?
Cousin is called Bioessence Hydra. Would you like to know what he...
Really?
Would you like to know what he does?
You know what? I have a feeling that... He enters the battlefield with a 1/1 counter on it for each loyalty counter on planeswalkers you control.
Yeah, by the way, he's also already a 4/4 trample for 3, a green and a blue.
Right. So he's not coming in 0.
Nope, he's already coming in as a 4/4. So that's pretty good.
And well, you know what else is kind of cool? It's like whenever one or more loyalty counters are put on him, on a planeswalker you control, you also put it on Bioessence Hydra.
You put that many, yes.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you do someone's +3, he gets 3 counters.
Fuck you. I'm sorry. Wow, this is going to be like a terrible... I'm going to have to edit this one. But yeah, literally, like, just take my money.
He's huge. He's huge.
I think he might replace Hydroid Krasis.
I think he might complement Hydroid Krasis.
He definitely complements it. And I mean, the thing about it is, the reason people like Hydroid Krasis is the life gain, too, and the drawing cards. But...
Well, I mean, I can see like a Simic mid-range deck with those two plus Kiora. You know, and then a couple other random planeswalkers like Nissa and a couple of mana creators. And yeah, I mean, you're dropping this bad boy turn 3 or 4. And oh, look at all these counters on my planeswalkers.
Wah, wah.
He's huge.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm thinking like still what I really like is like the Ashiok Dream Render. First of all, Ashiok, I mean, that's going way back. Mm-hmm. But spells and abilities your opponents control. Like, this is one of those that I think is more modern. Mm-hmm. I think it's meant to shut down Dredge and Delve, because basically it says student spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause their controller to search their library. Oh, and you put the top four cards of your library, it's minus one ability. Target player puts the top four cards of their library into their graveyard, then exile each opponent's graveyard.
Yeah.
So basically they're like, we're going to shut down Delve and Dredge at the same time.
It also shuts off. It shuts off fetch lands. It shuts off tutors.
Yeah, fetch lands are the big ones too. I mean, it's just. But that's what's making me wonder if, I don't think they'll do it in Core 19. Oh my god, wouldn't it be great? Mm. Maybe they are going to bring fetches back.
No.
I don't know.
No,
it's possible.
No. I don't think so. They're pushing things with War of the Spark, but they've been on record basically saying that they'll never ever do fetch lands again, and I would love it if they did. I absolutely would love it.
So would I, because I mean, my God, I Scalding Tarn, man, I need four.
Mm-hmm. You got $400?
Not handy. Mm-mm. Again, getting married. What do you want to talk about next? I know we're saving that big one for last, obviously.
Elder Spell.
Yeah.
Let me see. Which one? I could talk about another finale.
Sure.
Let's see. We got white, black, and green. Pick the color, buddy.
You know what? Dealer's choice.
Okay. Let's do Finale of Glory for you white players out there who like aggro decks, if you want a finisher. I hope you like Decree of Justice from back in the day, because this sort of does a really good impression of that. So, Finale of Glory, X and 2 white, sorcery. They're all sorceries, by the way, so thank God. Although with Keftet, you can cheat them out as instant speed for 2 less mana.
And I do believe Teferi, right?
And with Teferi, yeah. Oh, God. Ugh. Any of these on end step, gross.
this could go badly but, for a lot of people.
By the way, Finale of Glory is in Teferi's colors, so anyway.
This is horribly.
Finale of Glory, X and 2 white sorcery. Create X 2/2 white soldier creature tokens with vigilance. Not bad. If X is 10 or more. Also create X 4/4 white angel creature tokens with flying and vigilance. What the heck?
This is just it's really kind of, you know, ridiculous. And
they need to have a Wrath in their hand at that point, or they lose the game next turn.
And here's the thing, I mean, we're getting down now. We've seen 233 of these.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're gonna have to call a wrong that we had one thing wrong. I think by now they would have shown us the emblem killer.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still some rares left to reveal. All the mythics are gone. All the mythics have been previewed. There's a few rares left. There's still some commons and uncommons. I mean, there's some pretty good common planeswalker removal. I mean, you've got Spark Harvest at common.
Yeah, but it's not going to remove...
It doesn't remove emblems, but it does kill planeswalkers for potentially one mana.
Yeah. It's just, I take a look at it, and another thing, we have not seen them redo the Immortal Sun.
I don't think they're going to do that. There's no need, because it's still in the format, so there's no need to reprint it.
Yeah, I know, and they keep it around another year.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll let you do one more, and I'll do one more, and then I guess maybe we'll talk about the big one?
Yeah, okay, so let me see, I'm trying to find it. Where did he go here? Oh, well, let's do the big one everybody had a question of. And he is a mythic rare, at least, so that's good. Ugin the Ineffable, which, to be quite honest, he's ineffable, but in my opinion, I think they kind of effed it. Because I'm not real... It's okay. But Ugin the Ineffable.
Actually, Benson.
I could be wrong.
He's a rare.
No, I'm showing mythic.
Well, the MTG Salvation is a translation. They have that as a placeholder. He's a rare. There's only three mythic planeswalkers in the set, and that's Nicol Bolas, Gideon, and Liliana.
Tezzeret's
the bio box, but yeah, Ugin's just a rare.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right, because he's only got a plus one and a minus three. He doesn't have really an ultimate. It's just weird. It's like you think Ugin would be bigger than this, but
because he's Ugin.
Colorless spells cost 2 less to cast.
Only yours, though.
Yes. Plus one is exile the top card of your library face down and look at it. Create a 2/2 colorless spirit creature token. When that token leaves the battlefield, put the exiled card into your hand. Now, I dig that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
No, you don't lose the card if the creature dies. That's fine.
Right. Then number three is destroy target permanent that's one or more colors. So I dig it, and I get that they're doing that so that you don't pump Ugin and then get your card back, but it's just not what I would be hoping for with, you know, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I mean, Nicol Bolas is going to be hugely BA. He's going to be OP. He's, you know, he's insane. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of hoping for something that's going to kind of hold up.
Right.
You know, to, I mean, because, do I think he's going to see a ton of standard play? No. I think he's going to see a bit. But I think his color, his mana base is such that, you know, oh my gosh, there's one more we should talk about. And I'm going to just go ahead and.
All right.
And we need to find out where he would fit, because this is why I want to ask you. But we'll get back to Nicol in a minute. Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
Yes, Niv-Mizzet.
Okay, Niv-Mizzet's back. Apparently, though, he's dying.
Yeah, spoiler alert, guys. Niv-Mizzet dies in the story.
Yes, and then apparently comes back. But here's the interesting thing. Niv-Mizzet is full-blown five colors.
Yes.
White, blue, black, red, green. And it's basically saying when he enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library for each color pair. Choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them. Put the chosen cards into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Mm-hmm. So
it's an interesting.
So, like, you know, if you hit the lottery with his ability, you essentially draw 10 cards.
Right.
The chances of you actually...
I hate revealing, but I get
it. Yeah, the chances of you hitting more than one or two cards is fairly slim. I mean, unless the deck is like really built for that and it's just a bunch of like hate bears in there. But I dig the ability because he is now basically the Guild Pact.
Well, that's just it. I dig that too for that reason, but I kind of wonder, like, and I mean, I was thinking about it earlier today. I was like, you know, okay, is this going to see standard play? I mean, because, I mean, nobody's playing five color in standard really, unless you count the gate decks. Mm-hmm. And then I got to thinking, I was like, whoa. Gate decks. I mean, obviously you can Chromatic Lantern, and you would. I mean, you'd be an idiot not to.
Yeah.
If you're going to play Niv-Mizzet, if you're going to design a deck around Niv-Mizzet Reborn, which I don't know that you should because I don't think it's going to be five mana for a 6/6 that, yeah, okay, when it comes in, you get to look at the 10 cards of your library and bring cards into your hand, but you're also looking at the 10 cards of your library and putting a shit ton on the bottom.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, and if you draw your Game Ender, you're like, oh, frack, you know? So... it's an interesting idea. I mean, I don't know that you'll see this outside of a gate deck would be great for this.
Maybe Commander.
Oh, you'll see it in Commander.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's in Commander. I mean, my gosh, that's 10, being able to draw 10 cards, and then I'd be trying to find ways to bounce the damn.
Well, and by the way, speaking of Commander, Atraxa has got so many freaking toys in this set. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I'm very excited about that. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's kind of great.
It's sick.
So, I mean, it's an interesting thought, though. I don't know. I mean, do you think it's going to see standard play? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. It might. I mean, as a fringe thing, but I think if the fetch lands were reprinted, you'd probably see it. But I still don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, if ever.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting, but go ahead and do your one there, or just do the big one.
yeah, you know what? I'm going to go right to the big one. So
that's fine.
The whole story of War of the Spark is Nicol Bolas is launching all of his plans into motion. He's invaded Ravnica. He wants sparks. Why does he want sparks? Because he wants to become a god. Apparently, he does this because he gets a god card. But what he uses to do this is called the Elder Spell. Now, we were wondering what this spell was going to be, because they talked about it at the at PAX, saying that there was actually a card called the Elder Spell, and there was all kinds of speculation. They were thinking it was going to be some huge, expensive Grixis card that did all kinds of crazy things, dealt ridiculous damage, you win the game type of thing. Instead, this actually is very flavorful and also terrifying. So, the Elder Spell... I'm going to say what it does, and I want you, Benson, I want you to tell me how much you think this is going to cost.
Okay.
All right? Even though I know you know what it does, I want you to guess just for fun. The Elder Spell is a sorcery. It costs an amount of mana that we'll get to in a minute.
Yes. You know I do know what it costs. So.
Yeah, I know.
But are you doing like the whole Steve Jobs, like, what would you expect to pay for this card?
You got it, sir. So,
oh, okay, there we go. I'm sorry, I mean to play along.
The text reads, destroy any number of target planeswalkers. That's already crazy. Choose a planeswalker you control. Put two loyalty counters on it for each planeswalker destroyed this way. Benson, how much does this cost?
I would have to say the low, low price of... It sounds like a 4-mana card usually. Like, either one of those would be a good 2, but if it sounds like a 4, maybe a 5.
Yeah, how about 2 black?
What?
Yeah. This thing costs 2 mana. can we get some nurses here to revive all these people that have passed out?
Yeah, seriously, it's like...
2...
Sorry, I'll stop.
2 mana.
2 mana. 2 black mana.
2 black mana.
It's like... Grixis didn't have enough, so here's some more.
Yeah, here's a,
it'll see play in Grixis, it'll see play in Esper.
Yeah, this is a 2.
It's going to see play in Modern.
This is a 2 card. This is a 2 card win the game combo with the new Nicol Bolas, because you play him, you Elder Spell at least 2 planeswalkers. Oh look, he has ultimate already.
Oh, by the way, when you Elder Spell 2 planeswalkers, you can do your own.
Yes, you can. And you also obviously, you kind of let the cat out of the bag, but you don't have to tell which of your surviving planeswalkers gets the counters until after this resolves.
And it's one, right? It's not like I could do 2 for this one, 2
nope.
on this one.
Yeah, you choose one planeswalker.
It's all going on one. Yeah.
So, you know, you basically, like, if you have a bunch of planeswalkers on your side or they have a bunch of planeswalkers on their side, you could let one or two of yours survive just to try to sort of fade a removal spell, because you make them think, which one am I going to pump? They are not going to know until this is over. And then whichever one you do basically gets to ultimate right away, if there's at least one or two planeswalkers on the board.
Wow. I like it.
I mean, yikes.
Yikes is right. So that's just insane.
Yeah, when I saw the card spoiled, I mean, I immediately texted Benson. I'm like, what the ever-loving hell is this thing?
It's just... This whole set, it's good. It's obviously like they're going to war and they're throwing everything against the wall. And I think it's great. It's weird. And I think this is going to be next week's topic. It's going to be like, how the hell do you pre-release draft this? Or pre-release, you know, seal this?
Bigger question. Like, bigger question. How does Wizards follow this up?
Well, I mean, they're obviously going to go... I mean, they're going to follow it up with a core set 2020, which is going to be like a palate cleanser. I kind of dig that, actually. Yeah. I'm kind of glad they're following it up with just, you know, the core set, because, I mean, you have to.
So this is the post-coital cigarette?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So it's going to be, yeah.
Wizard sitting back on, is that good for you? Everyone else like, oh, God.
Oh, John's been, like, talking to us, man. I'm sorry, I got to be honest with you, while we were talking, I realized that, you know what? I needed to go and get 2 Nicol Boluses. So I just spent $60 and bought Nicol.
Oh, boy.
I think I'm going to want 4. I mean, at the very least from a speculator market, yeah. So, but, yeah, so here John brings up some decent points, though. He's saying, you know, how many have emblems? Well, John, I'm talking about in this set, not many. I don't see many emblems.
One or two, I think.
Yeah. But where you see emblems is the stuff that's already legal. Teferi specifically.
Teferi.
Kaya.
Yeah, Kaya.
No, Kaya doesn't.
Vivian.
Vivian, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, no, and bad thing is all the hate payoff cards are monocolored. Some are actually uncolored, but yes. And he's saying, so Niv doesn't draw your Ram or your Colossus. Correct. It won't draw any artifacts.
Right. No, but it only looks for cards that are specifically
multicolored.
And a specific colored pair. So you're looking for a white-black card, a white-blue card, a black-blue card, that type of thing.
So you'd pull like a Hydroid Krasis. You probably pull an Aurelia.
You could pull
the best out of the guilds.
You'd be
pulling really, you know, if you built your deck right, you would, you know, an Aurelia, a Rakdos.
Well, you could pull like Expansion Explosion, because the split cards are multiple colors as well.
Oh, that's so pretty. I like that thought. Yeah. So there's other stuff to do. So there's that. But I mean, that's kind of our main. Let's get on, because again, we gotta keep our foot on the gas on this one. Let's go right into
combat phase.
So our combat today is, you're since we ended with it, what do you think?
All right, so combat today. So with all these planeswalkers coming out in the set, obviously people's first reaction is going to be, hey, Super Friends, this is going to be great. Then they preview the Elder spell and sort of pissed in everybody's Cheerios. So the question is, does the Elder spell kill Super Friends before it's even arrived in Standard? Or is it actually the secret weapon to making Super Friends good?
My opinion. I mean, first of all, I mean, what we're kind of discussing here, and I'm not going to pee on your topic. I mean, the question could really be, too, is do you think Super Friends is going to be a thing? And yes, there are 36 Planeswalkers, plus, let's say another 20 good ones out of the past, you know, four sets that are standard legal. Do I think that's enough to make a Super Friends deck? Which, you know, the idea would be five color or at least probably three or four. You know, with the mana base, we've never had a better mana base. But do I think people are going to play it? You know, that's a topic for another day. So with regards to this, does it kill the Super Friends deck before it arrived? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a part of it. I think it's people are going to want this because in actuality, since you can kill your own Super Friends, you know, you can, for God's sake, get rid of freaking, what's his face there? Tybalt or whatever the hell his name is there.
No, the trick is to put all your counters on Tybalt so he can make a bunch of 1/1s.
Yes. I mean, it just, you know, yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I don't think it kills it. I think it, if anything, it will be a tool in the toolbox for it. But I also, I'm not sold on the fact that it's gonna show up. I really think you're going to see Grixis, like, just roll.
Well, I mean, you could do Grixis Super Friends. I mean, there's two standard legal Nicol Bolas cards, which are both pretty good. There's Ashiok, there's Saheeli. There is a couple of Angrath cards. There's, you know, Chandra, Jaya. I mean, there's plenty of options out there for Grixis Planeswalkers. And basically what the deck would do is you play your Planeswalkers, you get to a nice spot where you can win the game, you cast the Elder spell, and Nicol Bolas says, hey, guess what? You lose. So.
Okay.
I mean that's sort of how I think it's gonna go. I mean, there could also be an Esper Super Friends deck because I mean, two doses.
That's what I would think too.
Two doses of Teferi. Where can you go wrong?
Teferi, Kaya.
Yeah.
You know, you get into some of the. I mean, yeah, it can kind of. Yeah, I think you could see that too, and I mean that would also give you what's his face there that we just talked about earlier. You know, the black blue guy.
The Ashiok. Like,
Ashiok. I mean, there's a I love kind of what Esper's kind of getting. Kefnet, I mean, I would consider part of the Super Friends. I would go with the God Eternals being a part of it, really. I know the Super Friends is supposed to be just planeswalkers, but you know, if you're running blue green and not running, you know, Hydroid and the other Hydra, you're insane.
Especially if you're doing especially if you're doing Super Friends, because I mean the Krasis is gonna draw you into them. It's a big fat body to protect it. And then if for some reason you need another huge big fat body, you've got the Bio Essence Hydra to be like, hi guys, I'm going to run over you now.
I mean, here's the thing. There are some other cards in this whole set that's going to change a whole lot of the, you know, I'm trying to think. There was one there that's going to let you bring creatures out like super, super cheap. You know, I think it was one of the god. The guy might have been Ronus, but I mean,
Ronus,
I'm thinking about
Ronus just doubles their power.
Okay, no, that's what it was. The Ronus doubles their power. Imagine if you have a Carnage Tyrant, and what the hell's the name of that really big dinosaur there?
Gigantosaurus Galta.
Galta. All right, so you have Galta and Carnage Tyrant out. Hi, game.
Yeah. By the way, Ronus also gives him vigilance.
Yeah, they trample, right?
Well, no, just okay. Vigilance. But, I mean, those two already trample, and then, you know, you make them a 14-6 and a 24-12. I mean, come on.
So, I mean, I do think that it's going to be – it is definitely going to have an impact on the Super Friends. Mm. I like it, but I'm not sure that – I don't know that Super Friends is going to be such a thing because a lot of these Planeswalkers that they're talking about, too, I mean – at the rare and uncommon level, I mean, the uncommons are really just static enchantments, mm-hmm. You know, that, but static enchantments that you can kill, which I'm not sure, I'm not sold on that yet.
Well, I mean, and they also have other abilities that a lot of them protect themselves.
Right.
But, you know, if.
But I'm not sure you would build a Super Friends deck with that. Mm-hmm. This set seems so much more a support set for everything else, kind of like how the legendary stuff was with Dominaria. You know, like, you didn't see too many legendary decks, which is what they were trying to get you to do with all the cards that, like, what the hell was that one there that, oh, shoot, what the hell was it where you basically, if you had a legendary out, it was a legendary sorcery and you got to play another turn.
Oh, Karn's Temporal Sundering.
Yeah, Karn's Temporal, I mean, yeah. Like, they were trying to get you to play, like, these legendary decks.
Well, I mean, all those legendary sorceries rely on planeswalkers or legendary creatures, and there's a whole bunch of planeswalkers now.
Yeah, legendary sorceries are going to be huge this year. I mean, again, we talked about that, you know, cards that have gotten a real bump from this. But, so, I mean, in my combat, I'm just going to say Super Friends isn't going to be a big thing. I don't think Elder Spell is going to do damage either way, but if it becomes a thing, Elder Spell is going to be part of the toolbox. And what is your combat, sir?
I'm thinking that if Super Friends exists, it'll probably be Grixis because, I mean, not only does it have, like I said, the new Nicol Bolas, which has a literal I win the game ultimate.
It really does.
And Elder Spell combines very nicely with that. Even if you happen to try to go off and it doesn't work for some reason, it has Deliver Unto Evil, which is another new card, which basically says, you know, if you have a Bolas Planeswalker, you choose four cards in your graveyard, put them back in your hand for 3 mana. And even if you don't, it's basically fact or fiction for your graveyard. You pick the four, they choose two, you get those two, and the other two stay in your graveyard.
Yeah, that was one I was looking at too. That was kind
of there's some ridiculous stuff here. There are a lot of bits and pieces to decks, new decks, I think, that we haven't seen yet. That this set is going to bring out. I mean, I would not be shocked at all if some. They have to try to make Super Friends work because there's so many pieces there. It's being pushed.
I think you'll see it in Sealed. I think you'll see it a lot in Sealed. Like, I think during pre-release, because there'll be so many Planeswalkers in everybody's decks.
Everybody will have six, at least.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see that. Think about it. 6 out of 40. So, you know,
as long as they're in your, you know, you get six in your colors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see people trying to jam five colors.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that I believe that the way these booster packs are collated is that you get one and only one Planeswalker per booster pack unless one of them's a foil. So you could theoretically get two, and if one of them's a foil, you could theoretically get two rare/mythic Planeswalkers. Could you imagine going, Nicol Bolas, Nicol Bolas? Okay.
I think that happened to me with the Chain Whirler. Remember, we opened up a Dominaria, and I had a regular Chain Whirler for the rare, and then I opened and I had a foil. I'm like, all right,
yeah,
this will work.
Yeah. So I mean, you could open up I don't know, two Teferis.
Oh, I like it. Ugh. Well, for combat, then I think we're gonna say that we both kind of agreed, and it just kind of went.
We both just sort of stepped on a landmine.
Let me move away from combat. Yeah. Because we ended up agreeing more than not. We should just, like, you know, I don't know. We'll figure this out. We're still figuring the show out. Give us a break.
Leave us alone.
Don't insult me, God. You know what? When I drink, I get paranoid. And no. All right, so let's go into second main.
Main phase.
Welcome to second main phase. Okay, so. We keep asking, and you guys are actually, you guys have been coming through, man. We definitely have some mail here today.
Yay!
So, yeah, I'm loving this, actually. Like, please keep them coming. podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you guys. So we have two. We both appear to be Ask Aramis. Mm-hmm. let's see. Do we want to do Liz or John first? I know John may be listening, so I feel like, you know.
Let's do John first. I think we made him wait last week.
We did make him wait. So, you know, let's just do John here real quick. So John says, and I'll make a John voice here for him. No. All right. So he says, hey, guys, I have a question for the, as of the last podcast, undefeated Esper Madman.
That would be me.
That would be you. I was just curious about the comma between the and as, though. Anyway, was that like a pregnant pause? Like, he's like, hey, guys, I have a question for the, as of the last podcast, undefeated Esper Madman. You know, like, it feels like it's a pregnant pause.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So he says, I haven't gotten to play as much standard as I like. And while I've been on Gruul, I'm assuming he means the guild and not, like, eating Gruul, because if you are, we need to have a conversation with whoever's cooking dinner.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Yeah. Really, there's more things out there than Gruul, man. The steak, man. Texas Roadhouse. Go to town. Mm-hmm. Texas Deep Brazil. Oh, I love that place. Anyway, moving on. I'm not really sold on a particular deck, at least until I decide how broken Ilharg the Raised Boar is.
Extremely.
Loves that
extremely
card. Broken.
Broken.
Which I should probably pull it up just to have it ready. Yeah, we very puffable. As I was saying, the Raised Boar is. But I have noticed an uptick in Esper decks at my shop recently. You think? I think the word got out on Esper. So, Aramis, when you sit across from someone at Friday Night Magic, what is the worst matchup for you to have to deal with playing Esper?
There is no bad matchup. They all perish.
Oh, shut up. No. No.
That was a Tourette's buzzer.
Yeah, no. There is a bad matchup. To answer the man's question. He's our number one fan.
He's getting the water bottle. Spraying me with the water bottle. No. Bad Esper player. Bad. So here's the thing. Esper does have bad matchups.
Other Espers.
Other Esper decks, yeah. Mono Blue is sometimes a bad matchup for Esper control, only because it's a hard matchup to play. Because it's tough, because control usually has a pretty good game against a lot of different types of decks, especially like aggro decks. You might lose game one, but you usually destroy them game two and three. Mid-range decks can sometimes give you problems because of the way they sideboard. It really depends on how your deck is tuned, really. It's hard to go too far into detail. Like, if you have like a stock list, I mean, I personally have had a lot of problems, like I said earlier, with Temur Reclamation. So, you know, combo decks might be something that give you some issues.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because if they can get under your counter spells, I mean, the same is true for aggro. If they get under your counter spells or you don't draw your answers, you'll lose any game. I would say stick with what you like to play. You know, if you like Gruul, Gruul can beat Esper. I mean, I've lost to it plenty of times.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Ilharg, in Gruul especially, because that was what I was actually trying to think of earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine, okay, Ilharg the Raised Boar. So he takes five, so you should have a nice, decent board state by the time he comes out. Okay, and if you're smart, you've got Call of the Wild, or Rhythm of the Wild out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you cast Ilharg the Raised Boar, or you attack with Ilharg the Raised Boar, and, oh my goodness, look at this. I have 10 power creatures out, because he's already 6/6. I guess I will cast Galta for nothing, or two green.
And he comes in attacking.
Comes in attacking, and then bounces right back out. So, and I mean, or Carnage Tyrant, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, okay, it dies to everything. It's a 6/6. It can die to almost everything. But it is a legendary creature, so it ain't dying to cast down.
Nope, and then even killing it doesn't really kill it. Because it just comes back a few turns later.
Yep.
I would say that a well-tuned mid-range deck can give Esper some problems. A good combo deck can do it. I mean, it's tough to say, because right now it is sort of the big bad deck on the block. So a lot of decks are sort of tuned to sort of gun for it. Another Esper deck can be really hard to play, because if they're better at sideboarding than you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that's key. And I mean, that's going to take us to our next one. So I hope that answers your question there.
Yeah,
and John actually also said Ronas. So, but he just said Ronas. I don't know if he was like, if that's like his battle cry or something, like Yo Joe, like Ronas.
That'll, I mean,
so
that'll do it.
I have no idea.
That'll do it.
That's a, it's a good battle cry as far as battle cries go. But yeah, I hope that answers your question, John. I mean, really, it is. It's a, the toughest things for Esper to beat is, and I mean, I've been playing this now for 2 weeks almost straight. And the toughest attack, the toughest times I have with it are almost, like I said, Grixis, for some strange reason. Well, no strange reason. It's fucking Nicol Bolas. But Grixis is a problem for that I've seen. And yeah, some of the combo decks, even like Simic Nexus was weird. That was a weird matchup. I felt like I should have had that one. But moving on, you know, this brings us sideboarding. You mentioned sideboarding. This does bring us to another email from Elizabeth from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So she said, "Hi, I have a question about Grixis control. I've been playing Esper control on Arena, and I keep going up against a Grixis control deck. See, so I'm not the only one, by the way.
I've seen them too.
In best of three, that seems to lose game one, but that I can't beat after sideboarding. What should I be bringing in? Thanks, love the show, especially Will. My God, he's hot. Elizabeth." I might add to the last
one. I'm not touching that one in case she's like 14 or something, so.
Yeah. It's
So we're just going to skip that last part. Anyway.
Well, actually, I think it's the Liz that's been writing to me since Action Station, so she's got to be at least 10 years old.
There's those rails.
I used to do a Battlestar Galactica podcast called Action Stations, and so that was like 2003 to 2000. What it was on for like so like 2009. So yeah, so she had to be, you know, and she was writing then, so she got to be at least 15, 20.
So those rails I was talking about at the beginning of the show, we just left them.
We're way off now.
Thank you,
Sam.
So this is actually a difficult question to answer without knowing what her deck list is.
Right. She didn't send that.
Yeah, so the only thing that I can assume is that if you're playing a fairly normal Esper control deck, you're probably bringing in Thieves of Sanity. You're probably bringing in maybe Negate. You might bring in Duress. It's tough because...
So what are you sideboarding out for those, though? That's the question.
If you're sideboarding out, you're probably sideboarding out your Kaya's Wraths because they don't play too many creatures. And you don't want the Wrath to hit your Thief of Sanity. You might be boarding out. You might be boarding out Kaya. It depends really on how you think the matchup is going to go. What you think they're going to bring in. That's really how the key for sideboarding. It's not just bringing in what you think will help you beat them. You have to think about what they might bring in to beat you, because. I think this is the biggest issue as to why people have problems against Grixis is especially Esper players. They're one of their big things. They go after your hand.
They really do.
And Esper control can't counter anything or kill anything if you don't have anything in your hand.
Well, I kind of wish too that there was more enchantment, because I think, I mean, that seems like a really good way to go too, is enchant. I mean, because Grixis can't touch enchantments.
No,
really.
They can't touch enchantments. They'll either make you discard them or counter them. The only problem is that there's not a whole bunch of impactful enchantments in Esper that can help you out.
Other than Search for Iskanta, which, you know...
They're going to go after that.
Yeah. Which I found the other day, but the guy waited until I transformed it, and then he freaking... I was like... I'm sitting there, I'm like, that Field of Ruin is right on the field.
Yep, and that's the thing, is Grixis Control tends to play Field of Ruin. So
it's like, this is going to end very bad.
Which I'm surprised more decks actually aren't playing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting after this standard changes too, because I mean there's enough fun land hate and lands period in this whole set of War of the Spark that, like, I think Field of Ruin is still going to go further down the list of, like, but it's like it's a good side, like I actually was sideboarding it when I was playing you with the Nexus deck and the Gate deck, like it was in my sideboard.
Yeah, like
specifically for Search for Scan.
Well, and here's the thing too, against Esper, Field of Ruin is essentially straight up land destruction, because, like, for instance, in my Esper list, I play one basic land.
Yes.
So if I've already drawn my basic land, guess what? You just blew up a land for free.
Yep.
So, I mean, most Esper decks might play two basics, maybe three.
Yeah, I find myself, it's hard for me to let go when I'm sideboarding. And again, I haven't been doing well, so this is kind of good for me to learn. I mean, it's hard for me to know when to go more mid-rangey as opposed to control-y. Like, obviously bringing in all four Thief of Sanities. And there's almost no sideboarding. It's sometimes I'm like, why the hell aren't I even running these main? Because there's almost no sideboarding that I don't bring in at least two of them. Mm-hmm. Now, I run Unmoored Ego, and I run two of those, and I almost always bring those in, too, usually because I'm like, I need to get out their power card. Mm-hmm. And one time, I mean, every time I beat Grixis, Unmoored Ego did it because I took out Nicol Bolas, mm-hmm. and then I took out, you know, one other there, so whatever they were using elsewise.
Well, the biggest reason that you don't use the Thief of Sanity in the main is because game one, you want them to have as many dead cards as possible. And most of these control sure. decks or burn decks, they're going to have a lot of creature removal because they want to kill creatures. And you walk up with an Esper control deck that has zero creatures, all of a sudden they could have up to four or five dead cards in their hand.
Exactly. So, and then, I get
yeah,
it.
And then what happens after sideboarding is you bring in the Thief of Sanity. If they are boarding out removal, that's that many fewer spells you have to worry about countering.
Well, I agree with that. So, Liz, I hope we answered your question. And I do kind of dig it that she's kind of followed me through my podcasting career. So this is kind of fun. But, yeah, I hope that answers your question. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens Friday since we're both going to be running Esper Control. And I don't think we're going to be the only ones in there.
No, there was already at least one or two others last 2 weeks ago. So I imagine there's probably going to be at least those two again.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think I'm bringing any. I think I'm only bringing one or two because they're actually bussing out this weekend. Hey, dude, it could just be me Friday night. So we'll be doing that. But I mean, that actually leads us to our big. You've been waiting for it. Everybody is here. And again, I don't have a drum roll. That sucks. We have our big announcement. So before we go to end step, I want to talk about that real quick. We have an announcement about the War of the Spark pre-release weekend. Mm. What's happening is this, is that as many of you know, we play at Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill, New York a lot, me and Aramis both. We are there every other week at least. It's where it's kind of become my home. It's weird. It's 100 miles away from me, and it's now my local game
Almost store. Literally 100 miles, right?
It actually, I think it is literally 100 miles. So let's not tell Wendy. And so, I mean, it's literally become like this place. I think it's more like 80, but anyway. Even still, we spoke to some of the guys over there, and they have this really great rig set up for gaming. Now, I mean, they're going through some restructuring and reconstruction, so they're going to have to bring some things out. But we asked them, we were like, hey, what are you guys doing for pre-release? Because, you know, you guys are our home store. We really consider ourselves partners with you. I mean, we're not, and by the way, we're not getting any sort of like, you know, they're not a sponsor or anything like that. They're not paying for a dime of this. It's totally on us. But we're going to go on Saturday morning during the pre-release because they are not doing a midnight. So Saturday morning, we're going to go and play at the pre-release event in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then at the noon pre-release, because they're running like 2 o'clock pre-release.
2 p.m.
Yep. They are running a second event. We're not going to play in that, mostly because Two-Headed Giant makes both of us nuts. But we are going to basically be broadcasting live. We're going to be doing a live podcast of a pre-release event at Kerwin's Game Store, our home game store. So we'll obviously be doing it here on Facebook Messenger, or Facebook Live is probably what we'll be using. We'll be recording it live. We have two USB microphones. I've already kind of figured out how this is all going to work as far as tech-wise goes. But basically what we're going to do is we are going to have interviews with some of the store personnel. I don't know if we're going to be calling games. We got to actually see about tech. But if we can, then Aramis and I are going to be actually doing live commentary of matches going on. They're going to have a featured table, which is actually going to be broadcasting through our Twitch. So as well as I think there's... I'm not sure how all that's going to work. But that's our big event. So we will be involved at a full pre-release event on Saturday, April
27th.
27th. Saturday, April 27th, a week from Saturday. So we'll be talking more and more about it next week. I mean, obviously next week's going to be our pre-release our pre-release, you know, special, talking about things like, you know, hey, if you get this in your sealed pack, make sure you build around this. This might be the cards for you to build or how to build your decks. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that. And then obviously we're going to be talking up Kerwin's. We're very, very excited about this. I mean, I've never done anything like this, so it's going to be the first time. We're probably going to step on our crank more than we're not, but I think we're going to have a really good time. This store is amazing. So again, if you're in the capital region of New York State, which is around the Albany area, this is a place you guys want to check
out. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's just, it's off the hook. I mean, don't come to the 10 a.m. pre-release because we want to win. So, but, and I mean, they're even hosting a Mythic qualifier in June 1st. So I can't do that because it's far too close to the wedding for me to even consider it.
I will be there. But,
you will be
I'm
there.
Already,
so we're going to have some great stories to talk
I'm already
about
registered.
Too. So, oh. John, this is great.
Oh boy, priorities.
Hey, here's a thing for you fans out there. You see what's on the screen right now? And if you can, I'm going to read it for the audio people. John Hill just posted. He said, I'm getting married that day, so I'll have to fight with the missus, but I'll tune in for what I can. Folks, that's dedication to the show right there.
Dedication right there.
That is why he's our number one
dedication
fan.
Slash death wish.
Shut up, dude. Let him have it, man.
Hey, if he can have it, more power to him. I'm not entirely sure there won't be a guillotine right over his head while this is happening.
I mean, that brings the question. I mean, does John think I'm a poser for not playing in the qualifier because of it's so close to my wedding day? I mean, it's not even my wedding day. It's just a month and a half away from it, but I'm like,
well, you know, some people's priorities, you know, whatever, getting married, big deal. I got that out of the way years ago. That's why.
By the way, we got to talk offline because I haven't seen your RSVP yet, man. I invited you.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I have to read that wall.
Not you, John. I invited Aramis.
I got to read that wall of text on that website, so.
Shut the fuck up, dude. She told me she wanted me to write a story. I wrote a story. It's our love story. Why do you have to?
No. A story, not a Homer epic.
Hey, my story is a Homer epic, man. If yours isn't, I feel sad for your wife. Just kidding. But that was our big announcement. I hope it was worth the wait, guys. We are going to be at Kerwin's on pre-release weekend.
Live broadcast.
Live. Yeah, it's going to be a live broadcast. Like, we are going to be going live through the whole thing. You know, during events, we may shut down to let the event run. So, oh, my God, that's what we can do. We can use Be Live to actually Twitch. Oh, that's genius. Oh, just, I'm a genius. Okay, I got this. I got this figured out. What's he saying?
John said, hey, I have to draw a line in the sand at some point, guys. Okay, well, maybe it's the day after the wedding.
Maybe it's the day after. But with that, I think it's time for us to start picking up our stuff. All right, so as we're picking up our cards and putting them in the boxes, we wanted to let you guys know how to find us through the various interwebs. So both Aramis and I stream Arena regularly. Well, not as regularly as they'd like. But we do stream it on Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. So just go there, look up Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
Yep, and you can also follow me on Twitch. I'm at RMECWRX. If Twitter's more your speed, I do not have a Twitter account.
Get a Twitter.
Leave me alone. You can also find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. So go on there. Harass Benson as much as you want about 52-1, which we still haven't talked about.
We're not talking about it.
Live broadcast.
That is our annual show. That'll be when we make it to 1 year of podcasts. That'll be when we talk.
That's not what the people want, but I guess we'll wait.
Hey, I haven't heard anything from the people about 52-1. So, and John, you don't count. in regards to that, my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planestalker in Facebook and follow our page. Like it there. If you're watching this live, odds are good you already found us.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Yes. Last but not least, you can send us emails like you've been starting to, but we would like a few more, guys. Come on. Give it up. You can even ask for advice on our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices and also 52-1.
Oh, yeah, and the email address for that, Aramis, is podcast at planestalkerpodcast.com. Maybe you shouldn't be so trying to work that in, man. You're shoehorning that in. It's just not natural.
Oh, it's it's great.
But with that, we are going to back ourselves out of here. We want to thank you guys for listening, for tuning in live tonight. John, you are amazing. And he's saying the way to treat him. But we really appreciate you guys listening tonight, for you know, following the show. We are available on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, any place you can catch a podcast. Please interact with us. We love our fans. We love you guys. We really thank you. Have a great week. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, remember to always leave some of your lands untapped. Have a great week. Take care.